Because that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Monday, August 13th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, overreaction theater from UK basketball's trip to the Bahamas. UK football, can we just get started already? The Reds put people to sleep on another Sunday afternoon. Tiger Woods loses a golf tournament, but you wouldn't know it. Rick Pitino's horse has a very fitting name. Our College of Gambling Knowledge tells you the worst pitcher in Major League Baseball, and you might be quite familiar with him. And we have a Mac Daddy Stelgie pick for Monday night. So let's go.
They're off.
She's Asian, she's loose, and she's fat. I hit the trifecta!
If you've mastered the art of win, place, and show wagers, let's try a trifecta.
Creating a trifecta of joint smoking power.
It's the trifecta, the top three stories in local sports. Of course, everyone here in Lexington abuzz over the University of Kentucky's basketball team and their 4-0 trip to the Bahamas over the weekend. And to quote one of the greatest sports movies of all time, Major League, and manager Lou Brown, against guys that'll be bagging groceries next week. When asked about Kentucky's 4-0 record, Coach John Calipari says, "I'm excited but not intoxicated by what I saw." Thanks, Coach, for not being drunk. What did I take out of these games? Well, first of all, nothing, because you couldn't bet on them. So what's the point? But most importantly, I realize that we as a society, especially Big Blue Nation, we have not advanced whatsoever over the years. Because a white dude named Tyler Hero, insert joke here, who apparently, according to all the announcers, is the new fan favorite of the Big Blue Nation. I wonder why that is. Oh, yeah. He's a white dude. And so who does he get compared to of all the players that have come through the hallowed halls at Rupp Arena? Rex Chapman, another white dude. Huh, it's amazing how that happens, doesn't it? Who does Tyler Hero play like? Oh, he plays like Rex Chapman. No, the only thing those two have in common is that they're both white dudes. That's it. If Tyler Hero literally played exactly like Anthony Davis, he'd still be compared to Rex Chapman because Rex Chapman's a white dude. Why don't we just go back to calling every white receiver in the NFL a possession receiver like they used to back in the day? Why don't we just go back to calling every white point guard a coach on the floor? Gritty, gutty, and all those other terms that are used to tell you what race a player is. Just like when you hear these high school quarterbacks, all those recruiting lists out there, when they describe a quarterback, oh, he's a pro-style quarterback. You know what that means? He's a big white dude. Oh, he's a dual threat quarterback. You know what that means? He's a black dude that can run. It's just putting two and two together. It's who we are as a society. But nevertheless, not to make this a show about race, Kentucky goes 4-0 and everybody's happy. Just wake me up in November when they play Duke. Then I'll be interested in what happens to this team. Until then, it's football season.
They're off.
Speaking of football, Mark Stoops over the weekend, not happy with his team's performance in an inter-squad scrimmage. What else is new? What do you expect, the coach to come out in an inter-squad scrimmage 3 weeks before the season starts and say, oh, we're perfect. I wish we could play tomorrow. Yes, of course he's going to come out and say that. I only have one question. Everybody thinks UK's going to be good this year. They have 17 starters returning. Well, on SEC Media Day, they were predicted to finish fifth in the SEC East, but I saw some clown on the SEC Network last week, Chris Doering, predict Kentucky 8-4, and then the guy sitting right next to him said, no, they're going to finish 9-3. Really? I have one question for you crazy people. Who's the quarterback? As we've said before, it's severely understated how important Steven Johnson was, not only to this program, but to the job status of Mark Stoops. He saved the program the last 2 years, literally. Now he's gone, and you've got a couple of clowns competing for the quarterback job, neither of which we know anything about. Yeah. Tell us who the quarterback is and let him play. Because if you go out there the first game and you're playing musical quarterbacks, that's not a good sign for this season. Especially when Las Vegas says your win total is 5.5. Good luck with that. The season starts September 1st.
They're off.
The Reds lose another yawner on Sunday to the Diamondbacks. Luis Castillo drops to 6-10. He now has the second worst ERA in the National League, just ahead of his teammate, Sal Romano, who has the third worst ERA in the National League among qualified pitchers. But hey, the Reds did win 2 out of 3, and they're 30-23 since June the 10th, which is fourth in the National League. I guess good news abounds for the Reds. Tonight, Monday night, the Cleveland Indians come down to Cincinnati for the old Battle of Ohio, an honored tradition unlike any other. The Indians' Mike Clevinger 7-7, but a very healthy 3.38 ERA. Talk about a team not getting much credit out in Las Vegas. Cleveland Indians, who are 100 games in front in the American League Central, they're still 10-1 to win the World Series. Does Houston look that good right now? No, they lost 4 in a row to the Mariners over the weekend. Do the Yankees look that good right now? They're going to have to play a wild card game. Everybody says the Red Sox are the greatest team ever, but the Indians at 10-1 to win the World Series? I'll take some of that action. In fact, I have taken some of that action. For the Reds tonight, the subject in class today.
You gentlemen seen your midterm grades yet? Mr. Blutarski, 0.0. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Yeah, I'm registered in this class. This is U.S. history. See the globe right there.
This guy's been stoned since the third grade.
I know that, dude.
Football 400.
I can tell you guys are big football fans.
Yeah.
Do you think we should go to commercial? Let's look at the $1,000 clue, just for the fun of it. If you guys ring in and get this one, I will die.
The College of Gambling Knowledge, where we give you information that you don't get anywhere else in this market, believe me, because A, we look at things a little bit differently, and B, we actually put in some time to do research, unlike the rest of the clowns around here. Homer Bailey, 1-9 with a 6.19 ERA. He is not the worst pitcher in the National League in terms of ERA because, well, he hasn't pitched enough innings to qualify. Only 37 pitchers have pitched enough innings to qualify in the National League for the ERA title. But on this pace, Homer will get to those innings and he will finish last. However, we don't really care about that as much as we care about, hey, does he cash tickets for us? Because as the great Brent Musburger says,
listen, good luck. Cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Thank you, Godfather Brent Musburger. But let's look at Homer Bailey. He's made 15 starts this year. In those games, the Reds are 1-14. If you had bet against Homer Bailey every time he took the mound this year for the Reds as a starting pitcher, for every dollar you put up, you'd be up $9.04. That's pretty darn good. So if you're betting $100 on Homer every time he takes the mound, you'd be up $904 on the year. Is that the worst in the league? No, it is not. Alex Cobb of the Orioles, talk about a train wreck team. The Orioles are a train wreck team. Alex Cobb, if you've bet against him, you're 18-4. And you've lost $10 for every dollar you've put up, unlike Homer where you've lost 9. Three other pitchers are ahead of Homer in terms of total money loss. Maeda of the Dodgers, Justin Verlander of the Astros, Clayton Kershaw of the Dodgers. Now you ask yourself, how can Verlander and Kershaw be on this list? Well, the thing is, when they pitch, they are such heavy favorites. If they lose once out of every 3 times they take the mound, they lose big money because they're such huge favorites. I remember Kershaw and Verlander have both lost multiple games this year when they were easily minus 300 or more, where you had to put up more than $3 just to win one. That adds up. But in terms of money lost per start, Alex Cobb has pitched 22 games, Maeda 20, Verlander 25, Kershaw 17, but Homer has only started 15 games. So in terms of money lost per start out in Las Vegas, Homer is the worst pitcher in the league. And that's not information you're going to get anywhere, especially around here. So you can talk about your Dave Ramsey retirement plans, get rid of all your credit cards, buy everything with cash. No, we believe in get-rich-quick schemes. And our get-rich-quick scheme for today, always, and I mean always, bet against Homer Bailey. Cleveland is minus 170 tonight, and I can't help but think that's still a good bet.
It's time for the lightning round!
The lightning round! 30 seconds, all the questions you can answer.
I am so good at lightning rounds!
I majored in lightning rounds. We're gonna destroy you.
I wanna bet?
I'm so confused as to what we've been doing so far.
Yeah. lightning round. Other stories that caught our eye. The PGA Championship was yesterday, and if you ask anybody, you would think Tiger Woods actually won the tournament. No, a guy named Brooks Koepka won the tournament. But of course, everybody's on the Tiger bandwagon. Tiger's back. TV ratings literally up 68% over last year. Mainly because Tiger was in it. By the way, when Tiger shot a 68 during one round, they counted and they said that CBS went to commercial 32 times during Tiger's 68 shots. Horrible coverage, but that's neither here nor there. A guy named Brooks Koepka won the PGA Championship. He's not just some guy, he's won three of the last seven majors. Here's the only two things that I noticed about Brooks Koepka. One, this guy's a machine. On the last hole, when every other golfer in the world would have marked his ball, he just went ahead and putted out because he didn't care. He doesn't want the attention. That's a guy focused right there, ladies and gentlemen. That's probably why he's won three of the last seven majors. Also, as he's walking off the final green to the congratulations of everyone, up walks his mother. And what does he say to his mom? He gives his mom a hug and says, "How are you doing?" And then walks right by. If I did that to my mom, good Lord, she'd disown me for life. Yeah, this dude's focused. But Brooks Koepka doesn't exactly get people watching television. On Friday, he shot a 63 and was one shot away from setting a major championship record by shooting a potential 62, and you never would have seen a shot on CBS's coverage. Unbelievable. The world is Tiger-centric. Hey, Rick Pitino won over the weekend. His horse won a race at Del Mar. What's the name of the horse? Party Dancer. Of course it is. You know, when you hear Pitino apologize and say, you know, he was sorry for all his mistakes, and then you see the name of his horse, it's like he's giving everyone a double extended middle finger. I think it's actually funny.
I've always said this was the classiest place in college basketball until I met a fan on the way out. It always reminded me of a class place, but they're getting just like some of the other places now. He just got in my face and said something I didn't like. But, you know, I take it from the students all the time. You expect it from students. But from an adult, and then turns his back on me like he's a coward. And he is a coward. I mean, he doesn't have to take it. But North Carolina is a classy place, and one person doesn't speak for the rest of the people.
We saw the end of an era on Sunday night. A walk-off, pinch-hit grand slam when a team was down 3-0. That's what the Cubs pulled off against the Nats. Basically ending the Nats' run with Bryce Harper. Ryan Madsen, who hit Joey Votto with a pitch last Sunday, this Sunday got rocked in his new role as closer for the Nats, and then after the game he goes, "You know what, I'm hurt. You're going to have to take me out of this role." Way to go, Ryan Madsen. Oh, I didn't do well? I was hurt. I'm sorry. He's no longer the closer. Insert Joe Blow here as your next closer for the Nats. But as that ball flew out of the park last night, everybody was celebrating the Cubs, but people were squashing the headline. That's the exact thing that ruins a run, especially when you have a team that's 10th in the National League in total wins that started the season with Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, and Bryce Harper. Not to mention supposed potential up-and-coming superstar Trey Turner. Where are all these guys today? Trey Turner's an underachiever who's still apologizing for racial tweets. Steven Strasburg is on the disabled list for the second time. Max Scherzer couldn't buy a win even when he pitches his tail off. And Bryce Harper is counting the days until he leaves town. They put all the blame on this team losing in the playoffs on Dusty Baker. Maybe it wasn't his fault after all. Yeah, sure it was.
Greed is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, Smooth Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver, yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, Mac Daddy Stogie time. In our return last Monday, we took one on the chin in extra innings when we take these underdogs. Some good pitching matchups tonight. Yankees and Mets, Severino versus DeGrom. Dodgers and Giants, Kershaw versus Bumgarner. But we're going to go to the San Diego Padres and the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Are they still called of Anaheim? I think they're just still called the LA Angels now. Clayton Richard for the Padres, 5.13. Andrew Haney for the Angels, 3.96. This is easy, right? Angels been fighting around 500 all year. Padres, way under 500. Starting pitchers tonight, the Angels have a an over-run advantage with their starting pitcher ERA. But Clayton Richard, with a 5.13 ERA, he's the only pitcher in the National League with a worse ERA than Luis Castillo, the supposed up-and-coming opening day starter for the Reds. But what does he do well? He induces ground balls. No pitcher in the National League has a better ground ball rate than Clayton Richard. And the Padres have actually been playing well lately, 6-4 in their last 10. While Haney for the Angels, a month ago, his ERA was 3.43. Now, it's 3.96. He hasn't been pitching his best ball lately. The Angels, the home team in this game, 4-6 in their last 10. And if you look at Clayton Richard's numbers, his home road splits definitely favor him on the road. The Angels minus 130, you're getting the Padres plus 120 tonight. Give us the Padres against the Angels as Kirby Yates trots in from the bullpen in the ninth. He ain't no Trevor Hoffman, that's for sure. Kirby Yates trots in to close it out for the Padres. Your Mac Daddy Stogie of the ninth. And you can take that bad boy to the desert and smoke it.
You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good. So what's the problem?
I don't know.
And that does it for the Monday, August 13th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. We're hoping to have some guests on in the near future as we look to get back in the world of podcasting after a long hiatus. Thank you for those of you who stuck with us and those of you who have inquired about our status. We are still kicking and ready to go. Just waiting on the call from the major leagues to call us up where we belong. Thanks again. And as always, until the next time, may the winners be yours.